ever see them doing that.
Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing voices to power. Grassroots mouthpiece. Sundays 5 to 7. The Child Support Hustle is real. You can catch the Child Support Hustle show Saturdays from 5 to 7 with co-hosts Drew D and Kenya R. The Child Support Hustle is real. Bringing voices to power. Catch me on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com. Let your voice be heard on HuntsvilleBlack.com. Don't miss the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, Tuesdays from 8 to 10, bringing voices to power. Bringing voices to power.
All right, we're in the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show. In this episode of the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, I'm talking with Rhonda Gore, who is a candidate for Alabama Congressional District 4. Hey, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Marcus. How are you? And thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad to have you on. And first of all, everybody at the soup kitchen today, if y'all missed Rhonda, she came out to the soup kitchen and volunteered there, helping the people of Lawrence County, getting to know them. And she's traveling around the whole state, really, but mainly here around in District 4, getting to know some of our residents. And you really helped us out today because we had people out, you know, so it was good to have you.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the folks of Lawrence County. I enjoyed talking with you guys, and I'm telling you, I felt like I was right at home in Lawrence County. You know, I felt like I fit right in, and we've just got along real well. And I look forward to working with you guys a lot more in the near future. Probably every Thursday you can expect me, if nothing else, okay, for the great food.
Hey, yes, come on out. We love to have people come out because even though, you know, the COC Food Pantry, you know, Soup Kitchen, we don't endorse any candidates, but we love all politicians and any elected officials to come out and help support us and help us raise money. And people need to know anybody, no matter what party you're in, they need to know who's running for this and that. We don't endorse anyone, but we encourage people to learn these people that you put in public office. These people are going to represent you, so you need to know who they are, get to know them, yes, and express your views to them. Now, what I seen you were talking with, I didn't mean to cut you off, I was just going to ask you a question. I seen you were talking with a lot of people from here from Lawrence County. What were some of the main things that people you were discussing that you saw may have been on people's minds from Lawrence County, the people you met today?
In Lawrence County, it's pretty much the same that I'm running into all across our district, and that is higher paying jobs. And I can definitely sympathize with that. Over in DeKalb County, you know, we lost a lot of our sock industry years ago. Those were, you know, very good paying jobs that we said goodbye to. And I'm running into that everywhere. Lawrence County is not the exception to the rule, but that is definitely something on folks' mind there. And that is higher paying jobs, maybe some better infrastructure. But I kept hearing that over and over, the job situation. They're having to drive maybe to Huntsville, Birmingham, maybe even further just to, you know, provide for their families because there's nothing there really in Lawrence County they can make a living.
Yes, right. And I took a class in college once. It was an urban planning class, and we went and studied a town here in North Alabama. It was somewhere around Dodge City, but we were studying why small towns and cities die. And they die because they don't grow. They fail to grow. And you have to have your native population be invested in your area. And like Rhonda's talking about, nobody's going to invest in an area where you can't even have employment. If I have to go to Decatur or Huntsville to get employment or to have a good time at a bar or something in Decatur or to have recreation beyond baseball fields in Lawrence County, recreation for my kids, if I have to go to all these other places to get those things, why don't I just move there? It makes no sense to have to drive to all these things we need. So if we want to retain our native population here in Lawrence County, we got to do things like Rhonda is talking about, like bringing in more jobs. Now, do you have any ideas on jobs and anything that we could do here in Lawrence County? Because this is a big county.
It is a big county and a hardworking county. I can gather that right away. Some of the things we look at, and like I said, I've been teaching social studies and political science for a long, you know, a very long time. And something research shows over and over, how to attract these higher paying jobs. You know, there's about two things you can look at, and that is infrastructure and a strong education system. And those two things we really need to work on improving in District 4. And I plan to work, you know, as hard as possible to see to it those two things are strengthened. Of course, it's going to take a village. It's not going to just be me. It's going to take working together to get these things done and attract higher paying jobs. You know, I talked to several ladies today that actually have to work two jobs to make ends meet. You know, their one job just doesn't pay enough, so they have to work two. And, you know, that's not good for the family, especially, and they're single moms, because they're not home maybe to help their children with homework. Quality time with their family is very, very important. And working that second job is taking away from a time with the family. So, you know, we need to, I would definitely be on board with that increase in minimum wage. the $15 an hour. And even at that, that's not, you know, great money. You know, a living wage could go even beyond that. But it would definitely be a start, is looking at increasing the minimum wage, you know, all across the board.
Yeah.
But the
No, I was just going to ask you, while we were talking about increases to the minimum wage, so what's your perspective on what's going on in Birmingham with Amazon and the union deal there? What side do you fall on, and just what's your perspective about that whole thing that's going on?
Well, I am, to be honest with you, I am very pro-union. I've always studied labor and labor issues. I always try to incorporate labor issues into the history lessons. So, you know, our students are aware of the struggles and the sacrifices unions have made, you know, in the United States. You know, if it wasn't for unions, we wouldn't have our weekends off. We wouldn't have paid holidays. We wouldn't have, a lot of the benefits that we have. Even if you're a non-union company, if you have unionization nearby, it gets their attention because they know
right.
They have to compete somewhat. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They have to compete in some way to keep their employees happy, or they will go somewhere else. If we have a strong union membership in Alabama, and by the way, we do, for a right to work state, we are about the highest union membership in the country to be a right to work state.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're almost at 2%. So I'm definitely on board with Amazon unionizing. It's making, you know, national attention. I think if Alabama goes union for Amazon, it will send a strong message that we Alabamians are tired of barely getting by, having to work two jobs, just sometimes not even getting by, sometimes just going in the hole further and further. You know, being poor is a very costly thing to be. You know, I saw, you know, I know Andrew Yang did not win, but his idea on the poor, being poor is very expensive. He had a good point. Let me explain. If you have a toothache, you don't have the money to get it taken care of, you put it off, eventually you're going to have to maybe have a root canal. And that's going to cost you up to $1,000. Whereas if you'd had the money from the get-go, maybe $100 to get it fixed. So being poor is actually very, very expensive. Think about that. If you have a termite issue or something that you're trying to take uh-huh. care of yourself instead of having it professionally done, okay, you're taking care of it yourself. You spent $20 on, you know, some type of insecticide.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, you spent $20 or whatever. 2 years down the road, you might have a $2,000 or $3,000 job you're going to have to take care of. Being poor and doing without is very, very expensive. I agree.
But yet and still we have. Yeah, but yet and still we have politicians who are in office and who've been there for a very long time. They vote against anything that's going to help people. Take one politician, for instance, Arthur Orr, based out of Decatur over in Morgan County. He was back fighting to cut down the weeks of unemployment. You have people doing things like that. They're trying every way they can to cut down services to the regular person. But in the meantime, they're trying everything they can do to give all these tax breaks and all these goodies to these wealthy people and wealthy corporations. Those people like Ederholt, that are really not working for the people, we have got to get them out of office. And that brings
gotcha.
Me back to, yeah, that brings me back to Lawrence County. Here in Lawrence County, we have, you know, we got a total of 25,000 registered voters, about 25 500, and we only casted about 16,000 votes. So there's about 4,000 or 5,000 votes out there. I'm not saying all of them are one party or this party, but if they're not voting, they're up for grabs for somebody. And we have got to do more on the turnout.
Absolutely, and we have got to work hard to get that 4,000 or 5,000 votes that's up in the air, so to speak. You mentioned these politicians, and I say that with tongue in cheek. you mentioned these politicians. you know, it seems to me, as long as they're doing okay, to heck with everyone else. It's like they're in their own little world. They're not getting out there. They're not staying in touch with the people. They have no idea that we even have homeless problems. Yeah, District 4,
right.
We have a homeless issue. We
right.
do in
we
some
have,
of our rural.
You're very right about that. And I know that from working with the food bank, you know, not just in North Alabama, but all over, just working with them. There are four counties beginning in Cullman County. They stretch all the way to Florence that are food insecure. They are dotted. They are outlined in red by the North Alabama Food Bank. There is a food need in a chain of counties in this area. And like you're saying, a lot of politicians, they never had the struggle for food. So they look at people who need the help down on them. They look bad on them. And instead of helping the people, they'll stand up there and preach against the people, but they won't pass anything to bring those people up out of that situation. Like if somebody's already poor, what good is it going to do for somebody like Arthur Orr comes in and start advocating cutting down the amount of weeks that you can be on unemployment? Just these spiteful type of tactics at the same time that you're, you know, talking down on the people. You're not doing anything legislatively to lift them up, but you're making their things front and center and you're trying to guilt them with their situation.
You're absolutely right, and you're correct. They've probably never been in a situation where they're having to do without, so they might very well be lacking the empathy to sympathize with these folks. They just don't have a clue.
Yeah, and what we really need is people to really get involved. Now, we're just talking about Lawrence County. There's 5,000 or 6,000 votes out there. And I'd imagine if you take that and you look at, I'm just giving you the numbers on Lawrence County by itself, but look at all the counties that are out there and how many people who did not vote. There must be a message to motivate those people, number one, to vote. Number two, both parties need to come up with policies that they can sell to the other party, some neutral things, such as cannabis, marijuana. I know Alabama just passed something on medical. You know, it speeds up, it slows down, but give us your take for the millennials and other people out there who use it for their medical conditions. What's your stance on it?
Well, to be honest with you, I wouldn't have a problem with looking at the legalization of cannabis. Recreational use, you know, we need to look at different ways to raise revenue anyway. We're cash strapped. We're too dependent on the regressive sales tax. Again, that just hurts the poorest of the poor. You go out here and you buy groceries, things that you need, and we're taxed heavily on regressive taxation. We need to look at some different ways to raise revenue, and that might be one of them. You know, they say it's a gateway to a stronger drug. Research shows it is not. You know, personally, I don't even smoke hot.
You go ahead. You said personally, you don't smoke it. I was just going to mention how these other states, and what I laughed when Alabama said a few years ago when it said that it was going to do a study on marijuana. Marijuana's been around for tens of thousands of years, it was legal in America for a very long time. You can, I mean, major companies, Bayer had their
version
of marijuana. So why, when it comes to Alabama, you have to do a study? Right. When the top medical people in the country have done studies, we've seen some of the results in mostly all the states. I think Alabama doesn't want to go recreational because they want to keep a few people in the pipeline for these new prisons they got. So everybody should be watching out for these sentences. Like normally, since they had overcrowding, if someone was given 1 to 5, they may have got 1 to 2. But now that they're building all these prisons, you can guarantee those 1 to 5s, most of them going to be 5s handed down. People need to be on the watch for sentences and judges to sentence out of the range they have been sentencing. So somebody can say, well, yes, he could have given 1 to 5. But, yeah, we need to be looking and watch for a pattern. If they're all of a sudden, when the jails get all ready to go, if they start upping, these judges start upping these sentences they're giving people and certain people, we need to be very watchful of that. I hope the Civil Liberties Union and I hope the politicians are watching out for any uptick or any anomalies to, you know, feed these prisons. And you can build more prisons on one hand, but you also take programs out. Now, how would you feel as a legislator and a congressperson, would you be willing to fight for money to retrain these convicted felons so they'll have a shot when they get out? When you get out, you can't get a job because you got those felons. You can't get a job. You can't get housing. What are you supposed to do? People are going to go to a life of crime. What they want. When you cut programs to rehabilitate people, you want them to come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And maybe even, you know, regain their right to vote even. You know, they can't even vote. Well, they've paid their dues. I always thought once you've paid your dues in society, that's it. We have a fresh start now. That's the way it's supposed to be. They've paid their dues. Let's help them out.
Right.
Let's help them get on their feet. Don't punish them more. They've already paid the price.
Yeah, especially what about the people who are in jail? If someone's in jail, say, for a ticket, if they owed some money at the time of elections, they should be able to vote. Now, if you committed a crime where you lost your right to vote, that's one thing. But if you got some type of crime that you're in jail for, some misdemeanor, something like that, your right to vote should not be suspended just because you're incarcerated. I mean, they're getting federal and state dollars at the county jail so they can have ballots. They can check the ID of anybody better than anybody. That person's already there. But see, they don't do that. If you're in jail, you just missed out on voting. And I don't think that part is good either.
I agree with you, Marcus.
You get out of jail, you can't get a job, you can't get a housing, and you can't even vote to change the system, to affect the system that got you there. You're not even American really no more. You can't do the American dream because you can't get housing and get a job. Ain't that the American dream? Get you a good job, get you a house. You can't do neither one of those when you emerge from an Alabama prison. You can't do either of those. If you committed a felony, okay, boom, you won't be able to participate in SNAP program most likely. And then you can't get a housing, can't get a job. What is that person supposed to do? You can't get a grant, so you can't get yourself out of poverty. You're no longer an American when you emerge from an Alabama jail. I don't know who you are. You come from an Alabama jail, you just screwed. You're not going to get any training to rehabilitate yourself, to have something to do when you get out, because all those programs have been cut. And then when you get out, you can't get the housing, can't get a job, everything. You're going to end up back where you came from. Or even, you're going to turn and become a drug addict, out of depression and anxiety or whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People want to say, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, let's look at why every now and then. Why is this person? Might be because they're depressed. You know, there is a why to everything. We need to start focusing on the why instead of looking at, you know, the drug issue. Let's look at the why. Start, yeah. You know, with that.
Right.
Rehabilitation is the whole reason for.
Okay, we're having some sound problems.
We need punishment. Rehabilitation.
We got some breaking up on your end, Rhonda. I don't know if you can hear us. You went out. Okay, Rhonda, you there? Okay, we're going to take a quick break as we try to figure out what's going on with the sound problem. Rhonda, if you can hear my voice, you can hang up and call right back in. We're going to go to a short commercial break, and then we'll be right back. Right after this. Okay, we're back with the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show with Rhonda Gore, candidate for Alabama District 4. And in this episode, we're talking about her views on different things like cannabis and unionization and homelessness and food shortages here in North Alabama. Okay, you was just, you can continue on with the point you was making is when the phone cut off.
Yes. Yeah, the rehabilitation part, I think we need to look at that and not just punishment. I get it. You know, there are some crimes that do need to be punished. Drug addiction, alcohol abuse, maybe more rehabilitation.
Right.
Rather than punishment.
Yes. Don't punish nobody for a I agree. I don't think people should be punished for their problems. They should be helped for their problems.
Exactly.
And it's not going to do any good to put someone that's an addict in jail. They need to be put in treatment. But when it's profitable to people, then the first answer is going to be lock them up. You're not seeing many programs. I mean, just look around when – look around the state. Look at these prison systems. People need to – I don't know why nobody has done a study of the effects when they had all these programs, when all the Alabama prison programs were at their height. Look at the recidivism rate. And then now look at, since all the programs are gone, upholstery, barberships, even going to college classes. Since all of that is gone, what is the recidivism rate now? And if you look at that number, numbers don't lie, then you would probably get to the answer of whether or not it was good to cut those programs. But who is going to be bold enough to look at that to expose how we've been doing it wrong?
Absolutely. I agree with you, Marcus. And I don't know if a lot of folks are aware of this. I would say most of us already know, but it's something we need to address, and that is District 4 statewide has the highest opioid abuse in the entire state. District 4 alone, opioid abuse. That's pain pills. Let's look at why. That's going to be another why. Instead of punishing, oh, so-and-so's a drug addict, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. Well, it could be the poverty, the lack of jobs in here. Most of these jobs that we're getting now, I know in DeKalb County, are temp jobs, temporary. It's like you go through some type of staffing agency and you're hired on as a temp. Well, I don't know how you guys are, if that's the problem over in Orange County, but human nature, if you're hired on temporarily, you can't relax. You can't save to have anything. You're too terrified. You're
the
constantly
very
worried.
The very word itself is scary. Temporary. Get rid of you.
Exactly.
Get rid of you at any time. Don't you go buy that house. Don't you go buy that car. You know, don't
Absolutely.
You do anything that you have to invest in because you're temporary.
You're temporary.
Yeah,
the human nature.
Right.
Go ahead, Marcus. I like where you're going with that. When you invest.
Right. That's it. You got to invest in people by giving them a good job, something that they can invest. When you invest in people, they will invest in the local economy. Some people can't see beyond the small town country mind. And if they see construction, seeing something building, they don't see it as a good thing. See, it's backward ass thinking that's going on in our communities. They don't look at growing as a good thing. They look at things are changing too fast. You want things to change. You want to live to see things to change. My goodness, who wants to live to see things stay the same? That is
Absolutely.
Not good. And you wonder why we're losing all of our good students here in Lawrence County. We're losing a lot of our good educated people. Some of the smartest people I know are from Lawrence County. One I can talk about in particular, he was valedictorian here once. We got all of this talent. They're not going to come back to Lawrence County if you don't have anything for their kids to do. If you don't have any reparation that grown people do, just because you are stuffed up, wannabe Christian, you don't want to see sports bars around. You know, if you want to do things like that, those type of people are the reason towns and cities die. They die because people refuse to grow. The number one reason towns die, they refuse to grow.
That's exactly right. We suffer, in District 4, I've seen it my whole life, we suffer with something called brain drain.
Right.
Our smartest ones leave. My son lives in West Hollywood, California, lived in New York City. I'd love for him to come home, but there's nothing here for him, you know, good paying jobs that with his writing degree. He just can't make it here.
No, because as elected leaders, we have to be the one now. Landowners and people who own land in sweet spots, if them people don't want to move, it's going to be very hard. That's one thing. But you first got to get past this mentality of you don't want to grow. You know, I don't know if people are scared that if we grow, more people will come in. They could be scared of that. But if you don't grow, your people are going to leave out. And that doesn't make sense to have that thought, because you want people to come in. Maybe these people will come in. Maybe a single man will come in with a pizza business, and he might marry a local girl. Then there you go. As long as, but we're keeping our locals. If we're not growing, our local people are moving to other places. If you move from Moulton or Lawrence County, and you go to a place where you got access to jobs, your kids got access to recreation, you got access to it, and you got choices instead of a mom and pop who's been there in one place for 20 years. If these people, if the people in places who've had companies like this all to themselves, you're going to get treated differently than if there's competition. So you got to get, it doesn't matter if my burgers or fries are cold this morning, where else are you going to go?
Right.
You know, you're going to get this cold burger and be quiet, or you're not going to.
And hush about
eat.
It.
Right.
Yeah. But see, absolutely.
We have to try to keep our native population and that brain power. That I could, man, I can name so many people from Lawrence County of both parties, all races, that are so highly intelligent, but they all have gone. Imagine if we had all that brain power stayed within all these communities. You know, imagine if we had a place for that one particular person where he could have expressed himself with his writing. You know, it could have been, and we have to form some of these groups too, you know, for people just
absolutely.
Like that. There's not a writing group or a group keeping up with different issues. You need to form one. You need to join one. You need
exactly.
to start one. So what is our...
Absolutely.
What would be the first thing that you would tackle if you were elected? I mean, the first thing that you would want on your plate that you would go after and fight for the whole time in your first term?
Definitely infrastructure. We have a crumbling infrastructure in District 4. Some of the things that we look at as far as bringing in quality, higher-paying jobs is access to an interstate. I know some of our towns and cities around the district, they're not close to an interstate, and that is something our higher-paying jobs look at. You know, for transportation ease, they look for, you know, accessibility to the interstate, the railway, accessibility to water. We definitely need to look at improving our roads, possibly even building some interstates that connect our cities. Now, our largest cities would probably be Gadsden. I don't think there was an interstate that I got on once I got out of Huntsville to Moulton. Decatur, I don't think it has its own interstate going through there.
Well, let me, but they're both very close. I mean, especially if you're in Decatur, you know, you can cross that Tennessee Bridge and go either way, you know, I-65 north or south. You know, when you get to Decatur,
right.
You're not far from the interstate. And here in Moulton, it's a straight shot down 157, about 20 miles, and you'll hit the interstate up around in Coleman, in Coleman, I guess. But
so we already
now, you see, yeah, we have access about 20-something miles. This is why I'm going right here where I'm going. You just seen where we were at the soup kitchen location. Okay, that
right.
road right there could take you all the way to the University of North Alabama, or it could take you all further point south, all the way into Florida. So you look at this road in front of Moulton. Everywhere that I have traveled, and you probably recognize this, whenever you have a long strip of highway through even the smallest of towns, that has that amount of traffic, that much access to the interstate, and this is a major highway. It's a major highway. That highway should be lit up with things. You know, I talked to somebody elected once. I'm not going to say their name just yet, but they asked me, well, who would who would stop there? I'm like, don't you see all this traffic coming down 157? Some of these people come all the way from Tennessee and drive to Birmingham to work. Some of these people travel these roads and routes all the time. It's a major route. So you build it, people will come. That is true. Anytime I've traveled, you go through a small town, if they got a little strip of highway, like Highway 157 going through Moulton, that thing is lit up with all types of businesses. And people will stop.
Absolutely.
They will even travel here to get that because we got the interstate access. They can come off the interstate from Cullman, drive 20-something miles, and here's a long strip of businesses and eateries on 157. But we're not building like that. You can attract people
right.
by building. And that's when you get into the question that if they're not building, then is it their goal not to attract people?
It could be, very well be to keep the status quo. We need to look at education. That's something else that your higher paying jobs are going to look at. Your level of education, we need to invest in trade schools. You know, welders, for example.
True.
They make more than I do as a teacher. A certified welder can start out at $25 an hour. If they're unionized, probably more than that.
And shouts out to former Governor Don Sigelman, who did a lot with advanced manufacturing over at Calhoun Community College in Decatur.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we can thank him for our Mercedes plant. I remember that.
Right.
He was good with our libraries. That's something we need to, look at investing in our, library.
He was good.
That's
he was good at everything.
The Alabama Virtual Library, loved it. Couldn't have made it through college without it. That's something
the,
that...
Closed all the trailers.
Right. Absolutely.
And I
it
think
sure
the
did.
Trailers are back.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't even think our libraries are open yet. I'm not sure. And that's,
no,
you
I was
know,
talking
sometimes.
About the trailers for the kids. They used to have kids like in preschool,
yeah,
and pre-K stuff. Yeah, and these trailers, yeah.
Well, I know the Alabama Virtual Library was a lifesaver for me going through college, and I couldn't have made it without Siegelman's help as far as funding that and supporting the virtual library. I haven't forgotten,
And it was masterful. It was masterful how the Republicans took them apart. They went after Siegelman, and then they went after the AEA.
Right.
So when they did that, that was a double whammy for the Democratic Party in Alabama. And when I hear people, get excited about Georgia, I'm very excited too. And yes, but I have to always remind people, and we all got to remind people, especially the Democratic Party in Montgomery and the Democratic Party in Washington, D.C., we're glad Georgia is coming along. But the Democrats here in Alabama, we have won statewide. As a matter of fact, Don Sigelman has won every high state elected office in this state. We can win if they invest heavily in us, but they're not investing heavily enough in us, and we are not investing heavily enough in ourselves with boots on the ground and with combating voter apathy. And, I'm glad Georgia's here, but we've demonstrated that you can win in a southern state. As Alabama Democrats, we have demonstrated that. And we need to campaign to retake Alabama. We've had it. So I hope we need to have a campaign of retaking Alabama. We've had it once. We can do it again. It's not gone forever.
Absolutely. It's not gone. We're gonna turn things around. Door for District 4. Like I said, I have all the confidence in the world. We're gonna turn District 4 back blue the way it was 20 or so years ago. I remember when it was all blue. This state was blue, and we're gonna turn it back around, Marcus.
Yeah, we're gonna do it. going to do it. And we get need more people like you running for office, not afraid to run, not afraid to come out swinging early as you can. And we need, especially need more women. I think more women need to be in positions of authority.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, Fort Payne at one time, we had, you know, good paying manufacturing jobs. That's what I did for 10 years when I got out of high school. And a lot of folks may not realize it, but Averholt was the swing vote for CAFTA. That is the Central American Free Trade Agreement, a little bit different from NAFTA. But that, in essence, sent our jobs to Central America. Those salt mill jobs disappeared. And, you know, it was hard work. I'm not going to lie, but it was good paying jobs. You know, I went to Hawaii,
right.
Jamaica, Aruba, somewhere nice every single year. And I've not been able to do that since I got out of salt mill. So if that tells you anything of the disposable income we had back then, disposable income is a little bit different. That's your extra money after all your bills are paid. Disposable income.
What it tells you is you got the wrong representation in District 4. There's more concern about himself than he is everybody else. You know, just like maybe, I don't know, maybe if there's another COVID outbreak, someone can find him up in his cabin hiding out until everything blows over. Everybody can't afford to go to one of their properties in pure isolation, fully stocked out.
You mean we can't go to Mexico during the blizzard?
You can't go to Mexico with Ted Cruz, and you damn sure can't go to the woods with Robert Adelholt.
Oh, no.
You sure can't do that. But is anything important you would like to say to the people of Lawrence County? Like you said, you're going to come around all these counties and getting to know people and learning, you know, what their needs are so you can, you know, work your campaign on that. You got to give the people what you want. And I'm glad to see politicians like you of either side talking to people directly, because there are too many politicians who are comfortable, like Adelholt. He's comfortable in his position. He doesn't feel he has to lift a finger. He doesn't feel he has to answer any challenge. And when you get somebody that comfortable, they're not working for you. I don't care what it is. If they're not worried about even showing you why you should elect them, then that's a problem. You can't
that
be
is a problem.
Proud of that person, yeah, because you mean nothing to them. If they're not trying to sell themselves
Absolutely.
To you, you don't mean anything to them. They got you. They feel like they got you. And that's the way Adelholt has been. He feels like he has got District 4. He doesn't have to, you know, come through and say anything.
Well,
so,
I do want Lawrence County to know something, and I'm probably going to be saying this a lot in the next year or so on the campaign trail. I want them to know something. I have called and tried to be in touch with local representatives for, you know, simple issues. I asked them to call me back. Please email me back. I need to talk to someone. Never hear from them. Let me tell you something. That's the biggest slap in the face you could ever do to a constituent. If
right.
you don't even take the time to realize, wait just a minute, I work for this person. They've got the attitude that we work for them.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir. Mm-mm. No, you work for me. See, representatives are just that. We represent. We don't go and do what we want to. We get with the folks, we hear their input, and we go from there. We don't get to do what we want. And I'm going to hold me accountable, District 4. If I don't represent you and I'm too good to call you back, write you a letter, if I'm too good to do that or I'm too important, vote me out. That's what you're supposed to do. Vote me out. I pledge to you, Lawrence County, when you call on me, you need something, I will be back with you. I will not ignore you. That is the biggest slap in the face I could ever imagine. Treating
it sure
a voter
is.
Like you're not worth my time. I'm too
yes,
good for that.
And that comes
well,
from
I'm
that
so
being
good for
comfortable.
That, then I, you're so good for my vote.
That is so true.
You know?
That is so true. That's so true. But we've had that going on for a long time, and it's time we get real boots on the ground. And I want to invite you back to the show because, so you can tell us all about, you know, different ways, how we can help the campaign. And you can just keep us abreast of everything you're doing. I know you're just now, you know, you're getting started or getting the word out there, you know. So let us know when you get, you know, when you're ready for the website or how people can donate or how they can contact you. Do you want to mention any of your social medias now that someone can find you on?
Yeah, well, the easiest way to reach me now is through Facebook Messenger. You can message me on the Gore for District 4 page, or if you're a friend on Facebook, you can message me that way. My email address is simple. If it's TYRON1991. That's Tyron1991@hotmail.com. Like I said, we've got a website in the process of getting developed, and that'll be to donate. Because let's face it, I'm not a millionaire. You know, he's Mr. Adderholtz are way ahead of me money wise. But that's not going to scare me off. A dollar, $10, $100, we're not too good to take $2. You know, I understand
right.
We're all struggling in District 4. You
yes.
know, I don't
and
have
money,
his money.
Every money needs campaign, but the thing it needs most is a connection with the voters. And what you're saying and what you're talking to some of the things we haven't heard him talk. And if he has, it's not been for good. We talk about prisons. I guarantee you he's not talking about rehabilitation.
Education, yes, right there in the prisons. Teach him a trade, something.
So
I agree with you
back.
100%, Marcus.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, with that... like I said, you're invited back anytime, and also we're going to be reaching out to other parts of North Alabama. See, we got to get candidates out there early, so I want to reach out to people how I can help as chairman of the Lawrence County Democratic Party. I'm going to talk to other chairmen to see if they can, you know, you need to come around and meet the people in their area and enlist their support, see how they can help you, how you can help them to spread the message of what you're trying to get out. And I'm glad you're in the race. And it's time. It's definitely time for a woman in District 4. Definitely. Definitely a time.
Well, thank you. And just know, Marcus and Lawrence County, just know that I am your representative, not the other way around. We've got to change that mindset. These people
right.
in office, they think we work for them. Uh-uh. Nope. 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 We work.
They think they're smarter than
the
people that sent them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. To send you there. How are you going to get there and then think that you're too good for the people who sent you?
Yeah.
And then
well,
even the people that didn't send you, even the people that didn't send you, you know, he's got to be, politicians got to be in the mindset, even though you're running under a party, when you get elected, you represent all the people. All the people. But when you get somebody
right.
like Arahoe, he don't care about none of them. Not even, he don't care about his own or anybody else. He just wants to do the footwork he see everybody else doing with cruel policy. Just like a race to the bottom. In Alabama, most of these Republicans, it's about who can put the most cruel policy out there. It's all they have left. They have nothing else left to sell.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate this so much, Marcus.
And
I
appreciate
I hope to hear from
yeah. You'll hear from us. You'll hear from us again. And you feel free to call
definitely.
In to some of our shows, because a lot of other shows on this network, they are related to political stuff, like the show we have on. We talk about child support and the child support system on Saturdays on the show. And then we have a show every now and then that's on Sunday. It's United Voices, and they cover a whole lot of controversial issues. And we've broken a lot of stories on there that went national. We, you know, focused on it first, and then so we've been lucky to get the scoop on a lot of things. But you need to come back as often as you can to this area, and I could try to facilitate some of that by contacting some of the other leaders in this area to see if they'd be willing to, you know, help you with this, see how that's going.
Absolutely. Lawrence County, Marcus makes the best fried cabbage you'll ever taste in your life. And thank
Uh-oh.
You. Thank
people would swear it was the rib.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, and stay in touch, because this is just the beginning, and there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to do.
I'm not
okay,
afraid
and,
of that. Thank you so much.
Yes, and on the way out, we're going to play. I'm going to play this song for you by. And we have a lot of local talent here in Lawrence County. I mean, every genre that you can think of. We got people here that's good at playing country music, bluegrass. I heard some bluegrass by somebody local, and that was really good. And of course, we got gospel, which brings me to this song by the Orr Sisters. And I wanted to play this song for a reason, because in the discussion today we were talking about, I mentioned Laurel Barron, and he said something on the radio show, on this show once. He said Republicans win in Alabama because they have God and guns. And I just say that, why have we given them the high road to religion? We need to confront Republicans more on them being so Christian, because what how they act, how yes
right.
we need a fiery Democratic preacher politician in Alabama that can, and I mean, I can do it. I can sit here and pick up a Bible and point to you every policy and everything they are doing is totally against God, and as far
absolutely.
As the Bible, and that's not me saying
as far
it.
As
I'm just going to come. Yeah, I'm just going to compare what your policy is and what you're pushing, since you call yourself a Christian. You're supposed to be working for God. So I'm going to call your policy out that you're pushing and compare it to the teachings in the Bible. That's how you know that these Alabama Republican Christians, this is just in my view, not necessarily the views of my guests, they are fakes. And I can easily prove it to any one of them. Nobody's accepted the challenge yet. It's been what? Shit, 4 years. I can prove to you that these so-called Christian politicians are anti-Christ. And I'm going to do it all biblical, nothing personal. I'm going to show what they have said in the past. Then I'm going to show them how the Bible abhors it. I'm going to show them their policy. Then I'm going to show them how that is totally opposite of what Jesus of the Bible taught. So if that can be shown and proven, and we all know it can, number one, why are Democrats doing it? Number two, Republicans can't have no other comeback but to either deflect to something, or they will be silent because they are exposed at their true intentions. But with that said, I'm going to play this song by the local group, the Orr Sisters. And it's a very good song. They're a very good group. They've had plenty of hits. And I hope to get more clips of music from local people, because I love to promote local people from Lawrence County and all over North Alabama. But this is the Orr Sisters from Courtland, Alabama, singing Glory, Glory. And Rhonda, we'll see you on the next show.
Absolutely. I'll see you
Tuesday. Yes. All right, then.